If he has forgiven us for so much, how much more shall we forgive? He's forgiven us for everything and anything we have ever done. And if God's love is so broad and so high, how much more then shall we submit our lives to him completely?
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul's rocky childhood left him empty and angry. He rebelled against God in willful sin. But when he finally experienced Christ's forgiveness and peace, he was able to forgive his alcoholic father as well. For Raul's inspiring testimony on DVD, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We're glad you've joined us for our continuing study of God's magnificent saving grace. Today, as Raul explores the account of a woman who experienced Christ's gentle forgiveness of her sin, you'll see that no transgression is too great for God to redeem when there's true repentance. Keep listening as Raul shows you how to extend to others the same mercy you've been given, forgiving through the strength of Jesus' love. Here's Raul Reese now in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 with the lesson, Maturity Comes Through Love.
Let me begin by reading the first three verses, and then we're going to pick up in the Gospel of John as an application this morning. We'll come back next Sunday morning and do the whole chapter, and you can actually see the lesson here. But Paul the Apostle writes, and he says, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned in the fire, but yet have not love, it profits me nothing." I think that we need to understand, first of all, that Paul the Apostle is speaking of agape love. When you come to the English language, the English language is pretty limited. But in the Greek vocabulary, there are 25,000 words in the vocabulary. So you can find sometimes 3 or 4 or maybe 5 or 10 words with different meanings to the word that is given to us. For example, when we use the word eros in Greek, literally, we're talking about physical love, selfish, passionate love that only wants to satisfy self. Me, myself, and I. And then you have the phileo love. And the phileo love is actually a love that is emotional in nature. And we actually call that the love that describes more of a brotherly love, where you can actually love someone in one moment and the other moment you can be mad at them. It's not steady. And that's also used. But then you have the family love, which we call in Greek storkio. And that is a family for your wife, for your children, for your husband, for your loved ones. And then finally, the fourth word for love is agape. And that agape love is one of the most important loves that Paul talks about. This love is a sacrificial love that is always giving and always forgiving and forgetting. Never retaliates, never seeks for revenge, never ever seeks to satisfy self, but it's always a giving love. And that's the kind of love that John 3:16 brings about, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so when Paul is talking about this love that we should possess, Let me demonstrate it by an illustration. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Pretty interesting story here in the Gospel of John. Jesus already was in Jerusalem, and he was there for one of the feast times. And he actually had come and had been invited to the temple to come and to teach in the temple. And it seems that the Pharisees and the scribes were constantly looking for a way to discredit the ministry of Jesus. I believe that today in the Church of Jesus Christ, we find such a people as the Pharisees and the scribes. The reason I say that is because the Pharisees and the scribes did not have in their life the agape love of God in their lives, not only for Jesus, but for people. And I think this is something that we need to really be careful with, because I really believe that the church has become too critical towards brothers and sisters in the Lord. First of all, we need to understand that there are no perfect churches or perfect people. And I know, and I have to confess to you, that in my own personal life, I have been critical at times, misjudged people. And as you get to know them, you really have to not only apologize, you have to repent in your heart before God and say, God, how could I misjudge this person when they're the nicest people in the whole world? We have to be careful that we don't become like the scribes and the Pharisees, especially when Paul the Apostle is talking in the 13th chapter of Corinthians, he's talking about maturity. I don't know how many of you feel that you're mature in the Lord. But there seems to be, as we've been studying the book of Corinthians, it seems to be that the same pattern that Paul writes about in the book of Corinthians is the same thing that we are experiencing today in the church, and that is lives of immaturity. People that really do not have the love of Christ in their hearts. Just by their actions, you can tell. In this story of the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John is such the case here. Misjudging somebody. But yet, Christ coming back with agape love towards the victim that had been set up by the Pharisees and the scribes. Notice how it begins in chapter 8, beginning with verse 53 in the original, that's verse 1, verse 53 of chapter 7. He says, and everyone went to his own house, but Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives. But early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. It seems that Jesus was constantly with the people. He had a love for the people. He constantly was teaching them truths through the Word of God. And it seems that even though the Pharisees and the scribes knew the Word of God and they had their devotional times with God, yet they were so far away from God and so far away from the truth of God. And so it says this in verse 3. And then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in the very act of adultery. And when they had served her in the midst. Now, what's amazing here is that somehow, somewhere, they wanted to use this woman as a victim of circumstances to bring her to Jesus so that Jesus can condemn her, as they already had condemned her. Now, my question to them is that according to the law of Moses, according to Deuteronomy 22:23, the woman and the man were to be condemned. Where is the man? You see, there is no man. This is a whole setup to defy the law of God and to actually condemn Jesus while they themselves were condemning themselves by their own rule and by their own laws. Immediately becoming condemning and critical, they took that woman and they dragged her out of the house and they brought her to Jesus and threw her down on the ground and said, Jesus, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. And then watch what it says. This is interesting. Teacher, verse 4, Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And then they said this, and now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? You see, they were always used to opinions, the authority of men, but not the authority of God. That's why they quoted Moses. They were discrediting Jesus from being God or a rabbi. Yet, at the same time, when you look at the story, when you go back into the law of Moses, the law said that the man and the woman to be brought into the judges, and both parties being caught in the act of adultery, they both were to be taken outside of the city gates, and they were to be stoned to death by death penalty. They only brought the woman. The man has escaped. I would say that the Pharisees and the scribes are a little bit prejudiced here, because it's important that we see that they're only bringing half a truth. Very critical in their judgment. And I feel that a lot of times there are people in the body of Christ that are just like these Pharisees and these scribes, trying to make themselves look good, but not having the whole facts. And nothing but the truth, but the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you, God. And I think it's important that we not only pay attention to this, but that God would forgive me. Because I have in the past times, and many times I, for one, have been like the Pharisees and the scribes, trying to defend myself or do something for myself where I misjudge someone, or I misjudge people, and I stand in the place of God as a judge, and I am ready, like the Pharisees and the scribes, to pick up a stone and to stone the woman because she was caught in the very act of adultery, and yet she was a victim. God used this situation, this evil situation, God used it for his own good. And for the good of the woman. Why? Because at this particular time, the woman will find God. So God used it for his good. Many times we don't understand situations and circumstances, but God knows what he's doing. It is so important that as we see these Pharisees quoting the scriptures from Deuteronomy 22:23, they're actually like Satan misquoting the scriptures. Because there's only one victim here. The other party is not there. And so they're judging the woman for getting caught in the very act of adultery. Watch this, verse 6. And this they said, testing Jesus, that they might have something of which to accuse him. See, the whole purpose is not the woman. The whole purpose is to accuse Jesus. To find something wrong with him. And the reason is because Jesus was reflecting love to every one of them. The agape love of God was constantly reflecting upon Jesus to the people of God. And they hated it. They hated for what Jesus stood. Love. And many times, not only you but myself, how many times we failed because we really do not have the agape love of God within our own lives. And we become critical in our judgments. We become mean with people. And instead of walking in the Holy Spirit of God, we are walking and fulfilling the desires of the flesh. We need more of the love of Christ in our hearts, so that we do not become judgmental and critical in our behavior, so that we can have compassion for people, especially people that do not know the Lord. And at the same time, in my critical judgment, that I would be careful that I am human too. And as I point my finger or as I judge another person, that judgment will come back to me. So I want to make sure that in my judgment, I'm very careful but more graceful than judgmental, because surely I want God to be graceful on me when I fail and when I fall. That's important. Otherwise, we sit ourselves as judges and as gods. and we have no power to judge. That's why Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in the 6th chapter of Matthew said this. He said, look, man, he says, be careful how you judge. He says, if you're going to judge your brother that has an 8x10 in his own eye, why don't you take the 30x30 out of your own eye first? That's important. Because many times in my judgment against another person is that I see my sin in him. I hate what he does because I do it. And these Pharisees and scribes, they were adulterers. And they had sinned against God. They were looking for this woman to actually become a scapegoat, a victim. To not only judge Jesus, but to destroy and to accuse Jesus of being a phony and not having the love of God in his life. When yet he possessed his love, the love of God in his own heart. Imagine how humiliated this woman must have been standing in the front of Jesus, caught in the very act of adultery. But Jesus stooped down and he began to write on the ground with his finger. Notice that. As though he had not heard them. He played like he was ignoring them. But as he got on his knees, he began to write on the ground. Now, to me, it's amazing how Jesus can bring conviction to a crowd and to each one of us individually. Because as he got on the ground and began to write on the ground, they thought that he was actually ignoring them. But listen to what verse 7 says. And so they continued asking him, and then he raised himself up and he said, he who is without any sin among you, let him throw the first stone. Go for it. And as they were ready, getting ready to actually cast the first stone, Jesus stooped down again into the ground and he began to write. And it says in the scripture this is amazing, verse 8. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground, and then those who heard it, being convicted, notice, by their conscience. Being convicted by their conscience, one by one, from the elder to the youngest, began to walk away. Why? Because as they took up those stones to actually stone that woman, as Jesus was writing, they started looking around, and as they looked at the ground, all of a sudden they saw Joe is a liar. Whoop, that's me. Mary, and by name and by sin, and one by one, because they did not want to be uncovered from their sin, they walked away completely from God. And when that woman was sitting there on the ground, and then Jesus looked at her as she was standing there all by herself, verse 10 says, and when Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those that accuse you? What happened to them? Has no one condemned you? What is Jesus doing? He is actually giving her, giving you, giving me an opportunity to see his love and his grace and his mercy, but most important, forgiveness and repentance. That's the key. That God gives you constantly that space of time for you not to be condemned, but to be forgiven. If you want to be forgiven. Because eventually, those that accused her walked away. But eventually, if that woman would have not repented, eventually Jesus would have judged her on the day of judgment. And that's what will happen to so many people. But those that were criticizers, those that were the critical spirit, notice, because they thought themselves to be better than anybody else and they had a self-righteous attitude, one by one as they saw their sin, walked away without repentance. Walked away completely from Jesus. But the heart of Jesus was poured out upon this woman. Woman, where are your accusers now? Who condemns you now? Check this out, verse 11. And then she said to Jesus, Lord, no one. How can she say Lord except she repents? She recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. She recognized that Jesus was the Savior of the world. She recognized that Jesus had not pounced upon her and condemned her and defamed her. But Jesus had compassion on her, and Jesus gave her an opportunity to answer and to respond and to repent. Because she was guilty, even though she was set up, she was guilty of adultery. But at the same time, with that great forgiveness comes great responsibility. Look what it says in verse 11. Neither do I condemn you. Go now and sin no more. I want you to underline that. Jesus here is allowing forgiveness in her life, but also he's commanding that she should never go back to adultery ever again. She's to leave her sin, to forsake it, and to take up her new life in Jesus Christ. And whenever, if we should sin against God, immediately we should come to the place of conviction and repent. Because it reminds us of the agape love that God has for each one of us. He loves us so much that he's not willing that any one of us should ever perish, but that we should come to the knowledge of the truth. And that this love that God pours into my life and into your life, we in the same way should pass it on to other people. And even in our judgment toward other people, we should always judge with the love of Christ. Not with a critical spirit, with hate and unforgiveness.
We hope you've been encouraged by today's biblical reassurance that God's mercy is greater than your sin, and when you come to Him in genuine repentance, He will always forgive. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review the message you've just heard, we can send you an unedited copy for a donation of $5 or more. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching titled, Maturity Comes Through Love. For further insight into the Lord's ability to redeem and renew your life, we'd also like to offer you a CD series simply titled Grace. This 3-message study from Raul provides an in-depth look at God's desire for every person to spend eternity with Him in heaven. You'll also see that a humble heart, not a perfect life, is all you need to receive Christ's gifts of salvation and eternal life. Contact us today to purchase Raul's 3-CD series celebrating the Lord's amazing grace. Visit us at SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165, and we'll send you this resource for a gift of $17.95. That number again is 800-634-9165. Or you can write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We'd also like to tell you about several opportunities for you to connect with us here at Somebody Loves You Radio. Download our free app to your iPhone or Android to access digital Bible studies, enjoy more Bible-based teaching, and utilize an easy scripture reading plan. You can also catch Raul's teachings as podcasts. All of the Somebody Loves You Radio programs are available to download through Spotify and iTunes. And don't forget to join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program exploring how to best honor God with your life. We're committed to supporting your spiritual journey with the Bible's wisdom and hope. We welcome your feedback on how we can best serve you. We'd also love to pray for you as well, so feel free to share those requests when you contact us. Somebody Loves You Radio is made possible through the partnership of listeners like you. Every gift you give is tax deductible, and your generous donations help keep us on the air. Be sure and join us again next time for more glimpses of God's grace. As you meditate on the extraordinary lives of 4 women in Christ's ancestral line, you'll find reassurance that God can work mightily through you to accomplish His perfect plans. Here's Raul now with a closing comment.
If He has forgiven us for so much, how much more shall we forgive? Think about that. He's forgiven us for everything and anything we have ever done. And if God's love is so broad and so high, how much more then shall we submit our lives to him completely? And recognize in the next scripture, verse 12, where he says, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall never walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Notice that. That's a radical statement he made. That if you come to Jesus and you come to the light, then you'll never ever have to be in the darkness again. Go and sin no more. Start your new life now. And begin to open your life and your heart and begin to ask God to pour himself into you so that you can pour yourself unto other people with the love of Christ.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.